Welcome in, Braves Today, BravesToday.com. Of course, it's all brought to you by Plains Coffee or PlainsCoffee.com. Head over there and enter the promo code Braves. Get your 10% off. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. And the bad luck continues because Austin Riley could be possibly out for the entire year. Might as well. You got to talk about the bad stuff, man. And that's the thing is I told you, joined late, jumped in Discord. I said, why is Riley not in the game? Lindsey comes back and says, hitting the hand at the plate. He didn't stay in the run, did not come back out. And then all of a sudden they started showing replays about three innings later. And I just thought that did not look good.
Yeah. The big tell. Okay, so 97.1 mile an hour sinker to the right wrist from Jack Kochanowicz.
Yep.
The thing that stood out to me is,
bless you,
I've watched Austin Riley like foul balls off his foot before and things like that. He's a pretty stoic dude. Like, he doesn't get dramatic and jump around and things like that. And he like immediately like dropped the bat, was grabbing his wrist. It didn't look like it didn't hurt, right?
Right.
It looked like it hurt. And, you know, they took him out of the game as a precaution. They took Travis Darnot out of the last night's game as a precaution.
Yep.
But Brian Snitker's comments after the game, Riley had an x-ray there at the ballpark, and then he had a CT scan at a local facility, and those results were, quote, inconclusive, which is a little less certain than I'd love to hear, right?
Yeah.
And so he's going to get an MRI with Braves doctors on Monday back in Atlanta. They are in the air as we record this. They are already in the air back to Atlanta. He'll get an MRI on the off day tomorrow. I am, based on how this season has gone, based on how he reacted, I am expecting we get some sort of roster move Monday night, Tuesday morning, something, putting Austin Riley on the injured list, which obviously sucks, right?
Yeah.
It's not great. And if that happens, obviously you're not going to replace, as Alex Anthopoulos told us at the trade deadline, you're not going to replace an all-star at this point in time in the season.
Right.
Right. You're not going to replace Austin Riley, but you don't have a lot of infield options on your 40-man roster right now. Zach Short, when he was sent back down, he was DFA'd, not the 40-man roster. David Fletcher, who's in double A, playing second base and short every day and working as a knuckleballer once a week. He is not on the 40-man roster. Okay. The only guy you have on the 40-man roster for an infielder is Nacho Alvarez. Mm-hmm. And he has played, today is the 18th. He played one game last week against Norfolk on the 14th. He went 1-for-4, scored a run, walked twice, struck out twice. We don't know. I'm assuming it's an injury. We don't actually know that. And so if Austin Riley has to go on the IL, you have to make a 40-man roster move. You have to, like, if you want to call somebody up to be another backup infielder, because you won't have one, you have to make a roster move. And that is obviously a little bit concerning, because that means somebody currently on the 40-man roster has to go. I don't know who that would be. I would assume it would be Zach Logue, who you called up for relief last week, didn't use him, sent him back down, 28-year-old lefty. I would assume he would be the guy. But we don't actually know who it would be. And whoever it is, you could potentially lose. The other option would be moving somebody to the 60-day IL. And I think the only option you have for that would be Ozzie Albies. And if you do, you don't get him back this year. Or, I'm sorry, AJ Minter. AJ Minter having the surgery, they could go ahead and put him on the 60-day IL and have him be out for the year. They could do that if they want.
Okay.
And if they do, Minter throws his last pitch in Atlanta, potentially. He's a free agent after the year.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't see that unless he just begs to stay and takes an atrocious contract. I don't know that that's going to happen.
But either way, it looks like Luke Williams would be your starter at third base. Nobody who you would add to the 40-man roster would get playing time over Luke Williams. And so Luke Williams is probably your starter at third base, unless you wanted to, I guess, try Zach Short there again. I mean, you tried that once before already.
It's not great. Here are my concerns.
Okay.
I had a set of mixed emotions here when all of this happened, whenever they showed the replay finally, since I was late sitting down and this happened very first part of the game of all times.
Second batter.
Second batter. And so my good point, let me go through my positives. Positives are, is
when please tell me the positives of Austin Riley getting hit by the wrist by a pitch. Go ahead, please.
Well, when the trainer is squeezing on his hand rather firmly, he did not wince at all. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, now that could mean it was numb, Lindsay. I don't know. you're right. When it first happened, he jumps out of the box. He winces quite a bit. He shakes his hand quite a bit, kind of jumps around. Of course, Snit comes out. Trainers come out. As soon as they start squeezing his hand, he's very calmly giving yes and no answers. He's not doing anything. He's not wincing. He stayed in to run, which also made me think, now, as I said, I don't know if that was numbness. And as soon as he got down to first, he thought, oh, crap, that really hurts worse than I thought it did, especially since he's been squeezing my hand for the last 30 or 45
seconds. As the swelling sets in, things like that, maybe,
And but there, you just mentioned the word that concerned me. Two words, inconclusive. And one of the reporters afterwards said, was there any swelling? And Snit goes, oh, yeah. And I thought, great. Oh, yeah.
The way he said, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so the way he put it that way, I thought, oh, man. Now, let's get back to a positive that you told me before we came on. And that is something similar happened to Arcia last year.
Yeah.
And still, this is a lot of days when we're getting down towards the end of the season like we are. But he didn't spend a lot of time out. And as a matter of fact, did he ever hit the IL at all?
He did. No, yeah, he did. See, so he had what was called a microfracture of the wrist. His also happened on a hit by pitch. It was in mid-April, like April 14th or so.
Mm-hmm.
He missed 23 days, came back without an IL. I'm sorry, came back without a rehab outing. Like, he just came straight back to the major league roster and was hitting almost immediately when he came back. Like, he was hitting well. Took like one game to get his timing back, I think. So if it's, here's the thought process, me trying to talk myself into this not being a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that it wasn't definitively and obviously a break, assuming that everything they have said is true, because we have no reason to speculate otherwise, then if there is a fracture there that would be uncovered by an MRI, I'm hoping it's something closer to what Orlando Arcia had last year than what Ozzie Albies had this year. Because Ozzie was obviously broken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were holding it still as they walked off the field. He immediately went on the IL and is looking to hopefully get the cast off soon to come back sometime in September. Right. If it's a microfracture and it heals quickly, like Arcia's did, you could theoretically see Austin Riley back before the regular season ends. Either way, this doesn't feel like it's going to be a, he sits out for 2 or 3 days and is back. That doesn't feel like that. And no, especially with Jorge Soler still being on, still kind of being day to day with the hamstring issue. We think he's going to play against the Phillies. We don't know for a fact,
right?
But with him kind of being in that situation, I don't know if you can afford to have half of your bench be guys that you don't know if they can play or not in case you need somebody and you just don't have the option, right? Like, I think now you have to act. You can carry one guy on the bench like you did with Austin for 2 weeks with the intercostal strain. I don't think you can carry two guys indefinitely not knowing if they're going to be able to play or not.
It's been a run of bad luck. We'll talk about that momentarily. Plainscoffee.com is where you need to go. All the coffees that you could ever imagine, including flavored coffees. They also have teas if you're not a coffee person. The good news is we can save you 10%. All you got to do is enter the promo code Braves. Get your 10% off at plainscoffee.com. I mentioned bad luck, Lindsay, and that is something you and I talked about last year at the end of the season and got reprimanded for by every Philly fan that's in our chat. Same thing that took place earlier in the season, where we even made a point the first time you said the word luck, we were like, be careful with that word because we remember what happened last year. But it's funny that statistics have proven that the Braves are in a bit of bad luck. And as a matter of fact, are the most unlucky team in baseball.
Yeah. So I wrote the story on Sunday morning. Derek Grifka, he's a data scientist, actually works in the beer industry, but he's a big baseball fan, has a Twitter account. The actual like at is like MLB underscore simulator, but he calls it the MLB deserve to winometer, right?
Yeah.
And what he's doing, and we've talked about this before when it comes to luck with the Braves and batted ball luck, is he looks at not the results of the batted balls, but the inputs, how hard you hit it, so the exit velocity, the launch angle. And we've talked before about the expected batting average on StatCast. If you have 100 balls hit at this exact same exit velocity and launch angle, how many of them fall for hits? So he goes back and he looks at MLB games, every single MLB game. His algorithm runs based on solely the expected results of the at-bats and not the actual results of the at-bats. On Sunday morning, he updated his chart. The Atlanta Braves have had 23 games this year where they were... they've had 23 more games where they were unlucky than lucky. So it's like, if every lucky game is a plus one, you outperform your inputs. Every unlucky game is a minus one. Atlanta came out to minus 23. 23 more unlucky games than lucky ones. That is by far the worst mark in baseball. The Yankees are second at negative 15. And the Red Sox are like negative 13. So Atlanta's 8 games worse than anybody else in baseball. Conversely, the Phillies are positive, not by much. It's like 2 or 3 games, but they're positive. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Guardians, who are leading the Central, 31 games positive. It's insane. Almost twice as much. Next closest team is 16. But the point is, we talked all year about how Atlanta was just crushing baseballs and not getting the home runs out of it. Mm-hmm. These balls were caught at the warning track. They would have 8 or 9 or 10 hard hit balls in the first 5 innings off a starter, and they'd get 3 hits out of it. Or they would get 4 hits, but they're all singles. When a hard hit ball has an expected batting average of like 510.
I know, isn't that crazy?
And a barrel has a hard hit, has an expected batting average of like 750 or 800 or something like that. Don't quote me on the exact number, but something absurd. And Atlanta would have 3 of the 10 fall for hits. Now we can kind of quantify that. They've had 23 games where they have had, or they've been 23 games unlucky versus the average team. And he kind of went on in that thread too, looking at just the inputs to figure out the win probability. Atlanta's average win probability in their games has been 61%. It's Martin Bay, which teams actually won like 53% of their games as of this morning. It doesn't count the Angels game, but it's like Atlanta's had the inputs of a team that should have the best record in baseball. Mm-hmm. And instead, they're barely above 500. They're in the final wild card spot and they're trying to chase down Philly. They're 6.5, 7 games back. With 7 left to play against Philadelphia. Like, this is why the coaching staff always kind of seem to not really be worried about the offense, because they're probably getting reports from Alex Anthopoulos in the front office. You're doing everything right like the inputs are right. You just weren't getting the results. And the luck has turned. Like, the last 30 days going into Sunday's games, the Braves lead all of baseball in homers. They have like 53. The Yankees have 48 and they're second. Atlanta's OPS, top 7 OPS, slugging, top 6 slugging. Like, the Braves are, all of this stuff is starting to normalize, but you've had some pitching issues. You had a bullpen issue over the weekend at Colorado.
Yeah.
You've had some starting pitching issues recently, as you were without Fried for a while. You were without Lopez for a while. And so you weren't seeing the results, but you're doing everything right offensively as far as hitting the ball hard, which is what the Braves preach of everybody. And it kind of feels like, I think we've talked about this, feels like every time they hit a home run, the bases are empty.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
A ton of solo shots. And that's why the run totals are still down, even though the home runs are up. And in fact, their batting average is like 11th lowest. On base is like 13th lowest.
Mm-hmm.
So still stuff to work on, but the power is starting to actually result in homers versus warning track flyouts like it did for 3 months.
Yes.
Well, and we talked about even the possibility of the ball being a little bit softer. I still think that that's probably the case. I thought Major League Baseball was going to change that at the All-Star break. We still see kind of the same thing. But even some of those unlucky balls that we were talking about, Lindsay, where a guy hits one 112, 115 off the bat, and it's a line drive right to the shortstop, or it's a line drive right to the second baseman. And, you know, or it's a line drive to the first baseman, and somebody gets doubled up because, you know, we're holding somebody on.
Something like that happened to Matt Olson in Sunday's game. He had two balls that were 101 and change in the first like four innings. The first one, expected batting average of 620. It was caught on the track. Yep. And the other one ended up being a double play. So not only did he have two hard hit balls, but he had two hard hit balls that resulted in three outs. And at one point in time, 11 hard hit balls in the game, 10 were Atlanta's. Six of those 10 were hits. It was one homer and five singles. Like, when we talk about luck, it's things like that. Statistically, 10 hard hit balls, you're probably right to get about six hits out of that.
Yeah.
But statistically, more than one of them are going to be extra base hits. And like, that's kind of where Atlanta's been this year, is you either would get hard hit balls that would not fall, to your point, or you would get a hard hit ball, but it would be a single instead of a double or a triple or a homer. And that's kind of, when we talk about luck, Phillies fans, we're not saying that Philly was lucky to have beat Atlanta in the postseason last year.
Yeah, right.
We're saying Atlanta's luck was bad. They had bad luck with the outcomes of their batted balls. And this, from this data scientist, this beer scientist, kind of quantifies what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing whenever you look back at the numbers. You mentioned pitching just a little bit ago. That is one thing over the weekend that really stood out to me as just being top-notch. I mean, even in the loss, I mean, Atlanta only took two of three, but even in the loss, the pitching was not the issue. They couldn't get runs across the plate.
Yeah, which we talked about, two out of three. We both called that, so shout out to us. But no, like, Charlie Morton flirted with a no-hitter for four innings. He had he allowed one walk, and that was it in the first four innings before he got in a little bit of trouble. And even there, bases loaded, no outs. He gives up one run on that whole thing, right?
Yep.
So, but no, on the weekend, and you're kind of seeing the Braves staff is healthy. You're getting these guys back. On the weekend, Atlanta's pitching staff walked seven batters. They struck out 41, and they allowed seven total runs to the Angels. Now, granted, you lost one of those games, and it was because you just offensively did not take advantage of your chances. Yeah. I think that was the Friday night game. I wrote those takeaways Friday night.
Yep.
You had so many, I think it was, what was the stat? You had the leadoff man on in six of the first seven innings, and you brought him in one time. Like, Atlanta squandered some chances. Today, Atlanta grounded into three double plays in this game. Matter of fact, two of their three double plays were on hard hit balls.
Yes.
Like, they traded eight runners. They were like 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position, but you still scored enough to win. And it's like, the pitching staff did their part. Now it's going to be Philly's coming to town. Can you do it against a better team in Philly? And can your offense find some runs against this formidable pitching staff you'll face?
Well, and the Penn bounced back too, got some help out of them late in the games on the two wins as well. And I'll give Iglesias his flowers when they're due. That stat released after the game today that he is one of the few pitchers in baseball that has not allowed a run since the All-Star break. That's just
one
a handful
of
them.
I was going to say.
So a little more than a handful of them. But yeah, it's just one of six guys. And so he has been impressive in his time coming in, and especially when he has to throw two innings. That's what scares me, when he has to throw two innings. He's done that a couple of times already in the second half since the All-Star break. So, you know, give him his nod. Still scares me to death every time he walks out there, but whatever. That's a personal opinion. It's got nothing to do with the statistics.
While we're doing flowers real quick, Dylan Lee, since the All-Star break, 9 games, 11 innings pitched, 164 ERA, 3 walks to 15 strikeouts in 11 innings.
15 strike. Wow.
He's had 2 games where he's allowed a run. He's allowed one hit in the month of August.
Wow.
Yeah.
And being halfway through August, or more than halfway through August, I mean, that is so impressive, especially for him. So, pitching seems to be shaping up. We do know starters for the Philly series that is going to take place. And that was, I don't know if he meant to give that away or not. I don't guess it's been much of a secret, but they put him on the spot post game and asked Snit, hey, is Lopez going on Tuesday? He said, yep. Yep. And it didn't hold anything back. So you've got Lopez, Fried, and Schwellebach. Who are the Phillies going to send to them? Send to the mound in the Philly series?
Announced is officially Zach Wheeler on Tuesday and Aaron Nola on Wednesday. Thursday is technically TBD. It's a Fox game, but we've been told Christopher Sanchez will get the start there, coming off of a complete game with one run allowed against Washington on 99 pitches. So looking pretty kind of hot right now. Youngster against youngster Spencer Schwellenbach. Going to be a good game on Thursday. I mean, these are some of the other than Chris Sale not being in this series, these are some of the matchups you would see in the postseason, right? Yep. Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez are probably their 1-3, and Atlanta's probably Sale and Fried as their 1-2, followed by Schwellenbach or Lopez, and you're getting Lopez in game one. Like, these are postseason matchups here, and I predict, despite it being a weekday for all three games, and school being back in for Atlanta, I still predict these games are going to feel and sound like October postseason matchups in Truist Park, because Braves fans know how important the series is. You're down 7 games. You have 7 left against Philly. Every win against Philly counts double in the standings, because they go down a game, you go up a game. So if you sweep this series, you're a game out of first place at the end of this 3-game series.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It can turn around that quickly. And of course, it is a nice little homestand that the Braves get to come home to after spending 10 days on the road. So I'm sure they are glad to be getting off the plane a little bit later on this evening and sleeping in their own beds as far as this evening is concerned. So, Lindsay, as always, I greatly appreciate your time, sir. It's been brought to you by none other than Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com. Promo code Braves, you're 10% off. Lindsay's got a ton of articles that are already up. You want to hear about that luck and see the charts and all that. He has that on BravesToday.com. Very easy to find. Lindsay, I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, buddy.